This morning, take your Bibles, stay standing with me to Mark chapter number 10. Gospel of Mark, Matthew, Mark chapter 10. We'll be reading verses 42 through 45 responsively. I read the first, you'll read the second, and so on. Mark chapter 10, I'll begin reading in verse number 42. You'll join me on verse 43. Mark 10:42 says, "But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all." Verse 45. Came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, for a place we can come. Lord, a place that, Lord, has a man of God, Lord, that is preaching your word to your people. Lord, we love being here. Lord, we love, Lord, all the things about this place, Lord, the music, the fellowship. But Holy Spirit, this morning, we ask in a special way, Lord, that you'd meet with us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit as we listen. Lord, may we stay focused on the truth of this morning. Give our pastor your wisdom. Give him your Holy Spirit's power. Lord, direct his mind as he preaches. Give us exactly what we need this morning. We love you and we thank you. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
I am excited to preach to you today. I have a truth that if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, shout amen. Today, you're going to hear a truth that will make you thankful for your salvation, but it'll also help you as you tell others about him. But I'm going to need your minds. I need you to sit up. I need you to slap yourself, to stay awake, pay attention, because what I have to say today is quite important. God made man to be with man. God made man to have constant fellowship with. God did not make you just so that he had some toys to play with. God made you so that he could spend time with you. See, God made the world. He created the world. He created the universe for man. He created it for us to enjoy. Not only that, the Bible says that when God created it, he and man walked every day in the garden, and God showed him things about the earth. He showed him where the oil was. He showed him where the gold and the silver were and how the man needed to mine it and the iron and the steel. And he showed man how the earth worked. Man didn't just discover things, just so you know. Man was not made as a caveman bumping around this earth accidentally discovering things. It wasn't the Beverly Hillbillies and he took a shot and the oil bubbled up and he said, must be in the ground. Everybody doing okay? God loves man. Man was God's prized possession and creation. All of the rest of creation was made for man. By the way, God made the earth to run for eternity. Listen to this very carefully. I have a whole sermon I'm going to preach on this in weeks to come. The Bible says that the earth is full of the Lord's goodness. Did you know what God put in motion is still fulfilling today? Sun came up this morning. It'll go down this evening. The tides are very predictable. You say, why? God put that in motion. Oil is not a fossil fuel. Young people, listen to me. Oil is not dead plant and animal matter that has been highly compressed, turned to oil. Number one, answer this question. How did the animals get miles below the ground? Number two, plants and animals turn to dirt, not to oil. The earth produces oil. We will never run out of oil. God made it to where the earth produces it. You can't take a dead animal or a dead carcass, put enough pressure on it to turn it into oil. It always turns to dirt. Everybody doing okay?
Right.
Same thing with a plant. That's what compost is.
Right.
It turns into dirt. We have oil rigs out in the middle of the ocean that go miles down, or goes a mile down before it gets to the dirt, and then it goes way underneath that yet to get to the oil. How did the animals get there? Everybody doing okay? That's a different sermon. The green people and the climate people alarmists of today prove that they don't know God. God made the earth to last.
Amen, sir.
But Satan entered the picture. Satan had been an archangel who was cast out of heaven by God. Hell was created for the devil and his angels because of Satan's sin. Matthew chapter 25 verse 41 reads, "Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." God did not make hell for man. God did not make the super torture chamber of hell to be inhabited by man. The Bible later says, after man sinned, hell hath enlarged itself. Why did it have to enlarge itself? Because man sinned. God did not intend for man to go to hell. You see, all of hell was created before the creation of man. Satan fell before man was created. And Satan is bitter with God and wants to take anything and everything away from God that he possibly can. Let me say this again. Satan's main goal is to become the separator between God and man. Satan wants to get between, Brother Juan, you and God. Christopher, God wants to get, Satan wants to get between you and God. So whatever it is that will keep you from being closer to God, Satan is there trying to distract you, trying to pull you away, trying to get you to look a different direction. You see, Satan was trying to steal man away from God for eternity. Then, in Genesis chapter 3, man decided he would listen to Satan rather than God. Remember the story? The serpent beguiled Eve. She took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and man sinned with her. Man knew better. Man chose the wrong choice. Man chose what Satan tempted him with, which was this: you could be your own God. You don't need God to tell you right and wrong. You can decide right and wrong for yourself. Because of this, the Bible says that God cannot look on sin. Sin created a great separation between God and man. God can't fellowship with sin. God can't look at sin. And the very creation that God had made, God was going to have to place the same punishment on, or he would not be a just God. Therefore, hell was there for man. But we found in Genesis chapter 3, verse number 15, Jesus had made a way of salvation available before the foundation of the world. He authored a way for man, if he ever did choose to sin, to be able to get back to God, and for God and man to be back together in fellowship. Say, what was it? Calvary.
Amen.
That's why in Genesis 3:15 he said that he would bruise the head of the serpent, but it would bruise his heel. As he stepped on Satan's head and crushed it, it was going to leave a bruise on his heel. Calvary is the bruise of God's heel. But it was the demise and the destruction of Satan. Now, listen to me very carefully here. You see, the separation from God took place because man chose to sin. Man chose to separate from God and listen to Satan. God did not want it. It was not part of God's plan. God's justice required the same punishment, and it was placed on man because man committed the same sin as Satan. And this is what I want you to get. Satan now holds man hostage in his sin. We are bound by our sin. We are bound by sin and death. Sin and death come because of sin. And that is the bondage that Satan placed on man. And he literally holds us hostage from God due to that. Can I tell you something? Jesus in eternity past said, "Father, got a plan. I'll author it. If for some reason someday man sins, I know how much you love him. I know how much man will mean to you, and I'll make a way available for man to get back with you." Now listen to this. He said, "I'll offer myself as the sacrifice. I will go and be born of a virgin. I will live amongst sinful people. I'll be tempted to sin, but I cannot sin because I'm God. I will be crucified and shed my blood at Calvary's cross for them. I will be buried and I will resurrect. I will suffer man's hell. You'll turn your back from me for 3 hours, and I will suffer man's hell for him, as well as take on me all of his sin. I'll live his righteousness for him. I'll pay the ransom. I will buy them back so that you can have what you want." Now, can I say something? Only Jesus knew how heartbroken God was when man sinned. Now the sermon. God paid the ransom for your sin by allowing Jesus to be our sin debt. Satan wasn't going to set a price. God says, "You don't hold all the keys. I got the ticket." You see, God set the ransom without Satan's approval. Listen to this statement. Neither the church nor the ordinances of the church can save you, because Jesus purchased the church with his own blood. Amen. The church can't save you. It's the blood of Jesus that saves you. The ordinances of the church can't save you. It is the blood of Jesus Christ which taketh away the sin of the world. See, according to Acts 20:28, it says, "To feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." The church is not the ransom for eternity. Jesus is the ransom for eternity. It was his life that paid our ransom. It was his life, his death, and his resurrection that paid for our ransom. Man cannot earn his own ransom because we are all tainted by sin. I don't care how many good works you do, your good works are still full of sin. God says our righteousness is like filthy rags. Do you know what filthy rags were? Filthy rags in the Bible, they would place like fence posts along the road every so often. And people would hang their scrap rags out there. And the people who had leprosy and the people who had skin diseases would go out there and scrape their skin. And they would take that pus and that leprosy and wipe it on those rags. They were public rags. They were nasty. Can you imagine scraping all the pus out from leprosy and having body parts hanging there? They would wipe their sores with those things. God said, even the good we do are like those filthy rags. You say, why? Because you're a sinner, and so am I. Lest you think you're better than you think you are, you're nothing but a sinner saved by grace. You see, it took the sinless birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus to buy the ransom for eternal salvation. Now the sermon. Mark chapter 10, verse 45, for even the Son of Man has come not to be ministered unto, but to minister, watch this, and to give his life a ransom for many. He came to give his life as a ransom for many. He gave it for all, but only many will accept. Now, today I want to show you about Jesus being the ransom from the old nasty, smutty-faced devil himself. Number one, are you ready? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
All right, wake up. All right. Feel like I'm preaching to a Methodist church all of a sudden. Is this Grace Baptist Church?
Amen.
Let me try that again. Is this Grace Baptist Church?
Amen.
There we go. All right. Wake up. Here we go. Number one, our sin holds us hostage to death and hell and Satan himself. Our sin holds us hostage to death and hell and Satan. By the way, I've said this before, I'll say it again. If you get saved, you don't stop sinning.
That's right.
If you get saved, when you sin, you don't enjoy it as much. You don't lose the old nature because you got a new nature. You just added a new nature to the old nature.
Right.
Kind of like the old Indian that got saved. And the missionary went back and he said, how you doing? He said, bad. Some days good, some days bad. He said, I feel like I have two dogs fighting in me. One black dog, one white dog. The missionary said, which one wins? He said, depends on which one I feed the most. Whether you feed your old nature more or your new nature more, whichever one you feed the most will have victory that day.
That's right.
That is exactly true. You don't stop sinning because you get saved.
That's right.
There's a lot of people out there that preach that once you get saved, all your problems go away. They didn't read the Bible.
That's right.
They crucified Jesus. They killed a lot of the preachers of the Bible. They killed godly people. Godly people in the Bible died. Guess what? Your problems don't go away because you got saved.
Right.
By the way, this is why people get addicted to sin. Can I tell you something? Listen to this very carefully. Booze is wicked as the devil.
Right.
Liquor is a bad thing. Well, Jesus turned water to wine shows you don't know your Bible too much. That word wine means juice that left the fruit. Notice it says that the keeper of the wedding said that you brought the good wine, the new wine. New wine is fresh juice. People didn't drink intoxicating beverage. If Jesus did that, he is not the Son of God. He said, woe be to any man that giveth his brother to drink. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Guess what? He is all wisdom. He couldn't go against the word of God.
That's right. Amen.
Everybody doing okay? Now hang in there. Folks, illegal drugs and using prescription drugs wrongly is wicked.
That's right.
Did you hear what I said? We live in a drug addicted society. I drove from my house this morning and went, they're getting ready to put a big drug rehab place down the road. You say, what's it going to be? Place where people can go get more drugs. Methadone. You know what methadone is? It's meth. They just give it in smaller amounts to try to pull people off of their drug addiction. Try to wean them down. People who are addicted to it go from clinic to clinic to clinic and get all the meth that they want so they can get another high. Man is so stupid in his own sin. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
I thank God for the Bible where it says of the Apostle Paul, I am addicted to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you something? I'd rather be addicted to the Bible than a stupid cigarette.
Amen. That's good.
Folks, if God intended you to smoke, he'd have put a chimney on your head. And what sense does it make to go out, mow a bunch of weeds over, let it dry out, roll it into paper, light it on fire, and suck on it? Doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Who in the world likes eating stuff out of the trash can? then why in the world would you want to get a bunch of fruit, a bunch of grain, and let it rot and become trash, and then squish the guts out of it and let it get fizzy and drink it? Everybody doing okay? That's what alcohol is. We think we're pretty cool because we can drink. You're pretty stupid. Did you ever see a drunk? They're not real smart. Not real smart at all. By the way, I didn't say it. God did. God said that will keep you from being closer to God.
That's right.
Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
For some of you, it'll get you to see God faster. That's for sure. Our flesh wants to sin, but our new nature wants God. See, I got saved, preacher, but man, it seems like some days I want to live like a Christian. Some days I want to go back to the old ways. Who doesn't? Folks, I've been saved for 48 years. Guess what? There's still an old nature in me. Say, preacher, have you ever been tempted? Can I tell you something? The Bible says that Satan took Jesus to be tempted. Temptation is not sin. Yielding to the temptation is the sin. Everybody will be tempted. Matter of fact, the Bible says that he was tempted in all points like we, yet without sin. In other words, he faced those temptations and said no to them, just like you could if you'd listen to the Holy Spirit inside.
Amen.
You see, man does whatever he can to stay alive. I was talking to Brother Anderson this week. And I said, Doc, you doing all right? He said, I'm fine. He said, I don't have dying grace. Don't worry. I'm going to be alive. He said, I don't have a premonition. He said, I plan on waking up. And he said, I made a covenant with God. He said, I don't have dying grace. Don't worry, Brother Bush. He said, when I tell you I'm ready, he said, look out. I said, well, before you are ready, do me a favor. He said, what's that? I said, can you send me a check? He laughed. He knew I was kidding with him. I've never asked him for one. He said, you sent me the checkbook back. When he was here, he left his checkbook here. I called him. I said, Doc. He said, did you write any? I said, no. He said, I can trust you. Send it back. You see, look at the money that we have in medication to try to keep us alive. People take pills to get up in the morning. People take pills to keep them lubricated to get through the day. People take pills to make them go to sleep at night. People take pills to help them swallow food. People take pills to make them throw up food. People take pills to help them breathe better. People take pills because their heart's beating too fast. People take pills because their heart's beating too slow. We take pills for everything just so that we can stay alive a little bit longer. Somebody at 80 or 90 years old passes away and we say, oh, how tragic that is. Folks, we're all going to die. Look at the money spent on exercise equipment in America today that sits in your garage or basement and does nothing. Ouch. Look at how much money is spent on gym memberships that goes to waste. Everybody doing okay? Look at the amount of money spent on healthy food. Folks, if you really understood what the food industry meant by free range, you wouldn't buy it.
That's right. Amen.
Free range means this. They put 1,000 chickens in a room this size instead of putting them all in pens.
That's right.
That is literally the difference between free range and non-free range. And you pay twice as much for the eggs.
That's right.
Go to D.C. where they're dumber, Ashley. Black Angus. Did you know that Black Angus beef means this? 60% of the cow has to have black on it.
Yep.
It doesn't even have to be an Angus cow or bull.
That's right.
The key word in it was black, not Angus. That's according to the US FDA. Everybody doing okay? That's their standards, not mine. Oh, they're selling it as, boy, that's healthier for you. What do they call it? Antibiotic free. Folks, if you got a cow that's got an infection, and you give it a shot to get rid of that infection, I'd rather have a cow that's been injected with something to get rid of the infection than they butcher that cow and it's got the infection in it. How about you? By the way, they don't give it to them right before they die. We're not real smart in America. All right? You say, well, I don't want all those antibiotics in me. It means it's healthier. Don't worry about it. As soon as you put that thing on the fire, once it hits about 120 degrees, guess what? All of it's dead anyway. Hate to disappoint you. And the way some of you cook it, it doesn't matter. You could eat my boot easier than you could eat that. Right, Ruthann? Now, I like it, you know, knock it in the head, get a candle out and run it over and just turn it gray on the outside and it's good enough, all right? Get the blood to stop flowing too straight and we're in good shape. I don't mind if it's still a little cold in the middle. But it really doesn't bother me. Say, you're sick, okay? I think yours medium well to well is sick. It doesn't matter. If it looks like my boot on the inside, I'm not eating it. Everybody doing okay? Hey, amen. That's right. Sam and I agree. Thank God. Now, can I tell you something? The Bible says that sin holds us captive and it holds us hostage. Let me read a passage to you. Romans chapter 6, verse number 12. The Bible says this. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield ye members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, whom ye obey, whether of sin of death or obedience unto righteousness. And verse 18, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. God says that he wants us not to yield to sin. By the way, once you get saved, you didn't get saved by keeping the law.
That's right.
When you got saved, I preached on this a couple months ago, you were freed from the law. What was the law? The law of sin and death.
Yes, sir.
It is the law of sin and death that you are freed from by salvation. It's not the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are civil law. That's government. Did you know the Ten Commandments have zero to do with going to heaven? Never have, never will be. It was the local government of the Jews in the wilderness that they were to take into the promised land and the ten laws by which they were to live. It was civil law. That's why they were posted at the courthouses in America. Everybody doing okay? Why? Because it was civil law. The Levitical law were done away with because it pointed to Jesus as our high priest. Once he came and fulfilled it, that's why he did away with the temple and the Levites and got rid of all that and started the church. So the Levitical law, by the way, the laws of cleanliness are still there. They're still good by which to live. We still live by many of them. Our septic field and tank out here are part of the Old Testament laws. God said, don't leave that stuff hanging all over the top of the ground.
Right.
Bury it, it'll take care of itself.
Amen.
Everybody doing okay? God knew exactly what he was telling us to do. It's all in the Bible. Now, lost man is held hostage by the devil in hell. Man chose this when he chose sin. Hosea chapter 13, verse 14, I won't take time to turn there, but it talks about us being hostages in our sins and our iniquities. Now, so our sin holds us hostage to death and hell and Satan. Number two, Jesus came to pay our ransom. The devil thought he had gotten back at God by keeping Jesus from living more righteousness. He said, I'll just kill him. Take your Bible, turn to Mark chapter 10. You're just probably just a page over. You're right there, 10:45. It gave his life a ransom for many. Look at Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, real quickly here. I want to show you a couple verses here. Matthew chapter 20, look at verse number 28. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Notice the word ransom again. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse number 6. Oh, I got to hurry, got to hurry. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 6. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. And I think I'm at the wrong place. I'm in 1 Thessalonians. See, works better when you get in the right book of the Bible, doesn't it? Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Jesus came to be our ransom. Can I tell you something? That ransom was paid by Jesus. Now, a ransom is this. If somebody stole my firstborn and was holding him hostage, they would call and ask for a ransom. Actually, they would call us and pay us to take him back. No. But let's say somebody is being held hostage and they are asking for ransom. In other words, you get back what you want if they get what they want. Is that not what ransom is? Guess what? Satan wasn't dealing. But watch this. Man was never Satan's. Man was God's. Man was held hostage by sin and death. And Satan happened to be the perpetrator to get man involved with it. But guess who the ransom had to be paid to? Had to be paid to God. Now watch this. Hang on for a second. This means we couldn't pay the price ourselves. We were sinners. Jesus paid it for God. He wanted God to get back what was rightly God's. That God was not holding us hostage, the law of sin and death was. But the penalty had to be paid so that God could have back what he wanted. Now watch this. Salvation is more about giving God what God wanted than giving man salvation. Let me say that again. Salvation is more about God getting back what God wanted than you getting your carcass out of hell. Now, I'm thankful we take it personally. I'm very thankful God loved me enough that I could get saved. I'm glad I don't have to die and go to hell. I'm glad my name's written in heaven. I'm glad I have a home in heaven that I have fellowship with God personally, one-on-one, Brother Larry. There used to be an old Southern gospel song. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Can I tell you something? When he was on the cross, God was on his mind. Jesus wanted God to get back what was rightly God's. God did not want man to die and go to hell. We get the benefit of salvation so that God can have fellowship back with man. I hate to tell you, Jesus did it more for God than he did for you. But you ought to be thankful for that. You see, I'm sure Jesus loved man. Say, how do you know? Because Jesus is God. And he loved you, but he wanted God the Father to have what God the Father wanted. I remember. Worked for Brother Hiles. I was in a staff meeting one day, and one day he said something, and he said, you know, I really wish someday I'd be able to, and he mentioned something very small. I thought I could do that. And in a matter of a couple of weeks, I had gained the ability to do that one little thing that he had asked. One morning after prayer meeting, I said, "Preacher, can I ask you a question after everybody leaves?" He said, "Sure." Everybody left the room and I had something in my hand and I presented it to him. He said, "What's this?" And he looked at it. His brow got very furrowed. His jaw opened up and he looked up at me. He said, "Did you do this for me?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, I didn't say that for you to do that. I said, "I wanted my preacher to have something that he really wanted." He said, "Son, you didn't need to do that." And I said, "It's yours, it's not mine." Say why? Because I really wanted him to have something he wanted that only I could give him. And I was able to give it to him. Whew. That was a pretty good feeling. Can you imagine that's what Jesus felt like at salvation, at Calvary? "God, I'm going to give it back to you. You're going to finally get what you wanted." Boy, what a wonderful thought. Number three, and I'm done. Don't put your shoes on yet. Since Jesus paid the ransom, listen to this. How about we accept it and live like we have it? Since Jesus paid for it, how about we accept it and get saved? And then how about we live like we've got it? You see, you can, did you know you can't go to the store and pay for salvation again? Let's see here. My dad's got a nice car. I'm not going to go to the dealership where he bought his car and start making payments on his car. It's already paid for. They won't accept payment. Well, they probably would. They're not going to accept payment on that vehicle because it's already been paid for. He has the title. Where he bought it does not have the title. Guess what? Jesus holds the title to your salvation. You can't make payments on it. It's so free. He owns it clear and free. It's got a clear title. Everybody listen, look this way. Can I tell you something? But once you got it, you ought to use it right. Amen. You ought not be driving the car to the bar and parking it out there with your church plate on it. Amen? Take the plate off before you go. No, just don't go. I better be careful how I say that. You see, you wouldn't go to the store and make payments on something somebody else already owned and has already been paid for totally. See, salvation's price was paid in full. You can't do anything to make a payment on it.
You're right.
So all you got to do is accept it. See, once we get saved, we have accepted that payment, that ransom, and God says, "Now, let me clean you up and let's live like it. Let's fellowship together. Let's spend some time together." Did you know the closer you get to God, the more your life will change? You don't change your life to get close to Him. You change your life because you're getting closer to Him. You don't change your life to get saved. You change your life because you got saved. Now listen to this very carefully. If you stand up here for a second, Brother Josh, this is my son. For the last 3 years, he didn't live closely to me. He lived in Miami, Florida. That's 18, 19 hours away by drive. Can I tell you something? It didn't change the closeness we had. You say, why? Because we were all on a common goal. But guess what? What if he decided he and his wife weren't going to serve God anymore? Does he quit being my son? Oh, no. What if they even went into sin and lived like a bunch of hooligans? She wouldn't. He would. Doesn't matter. He's still my son. He may not be living the way God says to live, but he's still my son. I may not approve of what he's doing, but he's still my son. That's theoretically, just so you know. But guess what? The more we live in accordance to the Word of God, the closer we get. And the closer we get, the more we want to live like the Bible says.
That's right.
And the more we live like the Bible says, the closer we get. Yesterday we took the guns for a walk to go shoot anything that was legal to shoot. We were walking the old farm. You can have a seat. We got out there, Brother Larry, and he went, "Man, it's good to be here." I said, "Yeah, it is." I said, "Son, we've walked every square inch of this place many a time. We talked through a lot of life's problems together out here, didn't we?" He made a very wise statement. I'm not even sure he knows he made it. He said, "Yeah, and now we're living those decisions." Wow. We walked through the hard times. We made the decisions together, but now we're reaping the benefit of walking through those hard times. That's what it is. You talk about a closeness. Man, there was a closeness yesterday, even though he missed that groundhog. You see, God didn't pay that ransom for you. He paid it for God. We get to reap the benefit of it. You see, God, he paid it for God so that man could have fellowship back with God. God wanted fellowship with you. He made you to fellowship with. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you spent time with him? When's the last time you opened up the book and just let God talk to you for a while? When's the last time you bowed your head and just talked to him for a while? God made you to fellowship with him. When's the last time you told God a joke? Some of you couldn't tell the jokes that you tell. Can I tell you something? That's why God wants us to be faithful to his house, to hear his word be preached, so that we can learn more about him, so we can spend more time with him, so that we get to understand him better, so we can talk to him better. That's all it is. Say, "Preacher, you preach about standards every once in a while and how men ought to be men and ladies ought to be ladies and men shouldn't be wearing dresses and women shouldn't dress like a man." Yeah, I do that. Can I tell you why? Because when you peel those things off, you have the ability to get closer to God. That's all it is. It doesn't make you a Christian. It allows you to get closer to your God. Why? Last Sunday night, I preached like a fire engine. If it moved, I shot it. I mean, I just preached against some of the video games and the rock music, and I preached against society of today. If you missed the sermon, be careful listening to it on your computer. It might blow up. I mean, I just came unscrewed last Sunday night. You say, why? Because I want our church to be able to get closer to God. That's all it is. I want us to be able to fellowship closer to God. You see, we need less of man and more of God. We have churches that are man's churches, but not God's church. We have churches that lift up man, but they don't lift up God. We have churches where we dress a man up, put him in the place of God, and say, "Well, he can be our God for us." Wrong answer. In other words, we ought to come here to learn this book so that we can spend time with him this week. That's what it's all about, to give his life a ransom. What was the ransom for? To buy you back so God could have what he wanted, which is you. God made you, each and every individual, to spend time with him. And if you don't do it, that part of God is missing. In the heart of God, if you don't spend time with him, Wiley, that part of God goes unmet, and it's not fair to God. Folks, God made you to spend time with him. Why is it that we don't want to spend time with him? Why do we cower at telling others about him? Bless God, I'm addicted to the gospel. I'll tell anybody, anywhere, anytime about the gospel of Jesus. Now, I'm not pushy. My wife is. I'm not. Good night. My wife is the cutest, smilingest little bulldog you ever met out soul winning. If I said half the stuff she says, I'd get killed. I'm not kidding. She gets away with more than any human I ever met. Now, I'll give the gospel out to anybody. Folks, I'll preach at the drop of the hat and I'll provide the hat. I'll soul win at funerals. I'll soul win at weddings. I've had people saved at weddings. That's a good place for them to get saved, by the way. And they didn't walk out in the middle of it either. That's not how I saved them. But I've had parents of the bride or groom get saved at a wedding before. I've seen the hardest cases get saved. I've been told many a time, oh, don't go there, they'll cuss you out. Walk away and they got saved. It's not me, it's somebody dumb enough to open up their mouth and just, here it is, y'all. Got just enough of God in me that they don't intimidate me. Them going to hell scares me more than them scaring me. You see, we need to live by Bible standards. Listen to this. God doesn't need to convict you of anything that he commanded you to do. Let me say that again. God doesn't need to convict you of anything he already commanded you to do. Well, I just don't have that as my conviction. I don't care whether it's your conviction or not. God commanded it. Everybody doing okay? That's a good statement. Well, I just don't feel that way. You're living by your flesh. That's what feelings are. I love you. A little bit of leftovers from last Sunday night. Amen. God wants us to peel away the things that keep us from getting too close to God. Let me ask you a question. Let's put your Bible reading and your prayer time up against your game playing time this week. And I like golf. I like hunting. Did you spend more time in golf or hunting than you did with God? Something's wrong. There's nothing wrong with any of those things, but when there's more time put into it than time with God, look out. Everybody doing all right? I'm for spending time with family. I am. But may I say this? You better be spending time with God and teaching your family to spend time with God too. I gotta quit. Jesus came to pay the ransom. He didn't pay the price just for you. He paid it for God. So that God could get what God wanted back. Let's quit living like we need to be bound by the devil again. That's why it says in the book of Galatians, why turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desired again to be in bondage? We get saved. We come out of that. And then we have people who want to run back and live like they did in the world before. Doesn't make any sense to me. I'm not saying you're not saved. What I'm saying is, why do we want to be bound by the same things we just came out of? Get saved and quit rejecting the ransom if you're not saved. If you're saved, get baptized, join the church, jump on in, the water's fine. Amen. How about we lived like the ransomed of God? I think we ought to be at church every chance we get so that the more we learn about this book, we can take it back and spend more time with him and be more like him. I think we ought to be here every time the door squeaks and we ought to be the one squeaking it. I think that we ought to read this book every day of our life. I didn't say you had to read 14,000 chapters every day. I don't care if you just read one verse a day, but read something out of that book every day. Prayer is you talking to God. The Bible is God talking to you. Now, fortunately, we don't have to choose, but some college twit one day asked me, he said, "Brother Bush, if you had to choose between Bible reading and prayer, you could only do one, what would you do?" I said, "Read my Bible." He said, "Out of all the staff people I've talked to, you're the only one that said reading the Bible. Everybody else said prayer because then they could get from God what they need." I said, "What I need are his word. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." I said, prayer is me talking to God. The Bible is God talking to me. What he has to say is more important than what I have to say to him. Amen. He knows what I need. He'll provide my needs according to the word of God. Amen. Everybody doing okay?
Right.
I'd rather have the word of God than prayer. Now, thank God I get to do both. But if you have to choose, I have time to pray or I have time to read my Bible, read your Bible. Quit lifting yourself up thinking what you have to say to God is more important than what he has to say to you. Everybody doing all right? We think too highly of ourselves. We think we're spiritual because we can talk to God. We think we're spiritual because we know how to pray. You're spiritual when you obey what that book says to do. I had a discussion this week with somebody who's messed up in some wrong doctrine. They're saved, but they're getting messed up. They wanted to call me shallow. I just started ripping scripture off. Boom, 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 boom. They didn't know what hit them. And I said, you have gotten messed up by somebody that thinks they're smart. They've appealed to your flesh, they've appealed to your mind, but it does not appeal to your spirit. You need to let the Holy Spirit of God. They said, well, how do we do that? I said, simple, obey the Bible. I said, obedience is the key to the whole thing. Well, we have to have this, and we've got to do this, and it ought to be because of this motive, and people ought to have. I said, who made you God? You can't judge somebody's motive. I said, I happen to know who your daddy was, and when you were being raised, they didn't care what your motive was. They just wanted you to obey. I said, I'd rather have a child obey me with the wrong motive than not to obey. I said, eventually the obedience brings the right motive. God would rather have you obey than not do it at all. Well, I don't think they came to church for the right reason. First of all, you Pharisee, got your nose stuck so far in the air. Who made you God? Second of all, what's the right motive? Who are you to judge the motive? Boy, that's good preaching. Jesus came to be our ransom. He bought us for God. How about we live like we are the ransomed of God? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon today, something I needed? Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Many, 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 many hands. You may put them down. Who would say, preacher, if I died today, I know 100% sure, I'm positive I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? Man, you may put your hands down. If you have a need in your life, how about you come kneel at an old-fashioned altar today? If you've been saved and never baptized, we could take care of it today. If you've been saved and baptized and wanted to join our church, pulling no punches, old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, King James only, hellfire, damnation, preaching. Straight lace, straight shooting. But we'll sure love you. We'd love to have you come.